Call this meeting to order at 9:10 PM. I'll start with the roll call. Senator Goswami.
Here.
Senator Beardsley.
Here.
Myself, here. Senator Carro.
Here.
Senator Scott.
Here.
Senator Yang.
Here.
Senator Abusi.
Here.
President or designee, not here. EVP.
Here.
CLO or designee, here. CPO.
Here.
Is there a motion for today's agenda?
I motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Cool. All those in favor say aye. Oh wait.
So you would say like, oh, so Senator Beardsley motions to approve the agenda seconded by whoever seconded.
Senator Abusi, any objections? Okay, seeing and hearing none, today's agenda has been approved. Moving on to guest announcement and public comment. Are there any public comment? Seeing as there are none, we'll move on to new business, starting with item A. Is there a motion to maybe like enter informal discussion?
Motion to open informal discussion on item A for 2 minutes.
Okay, motion by Senator McCarro, is there a second? Seconded by Senator Scott. Any objections? Okay, we are now in informal discussion for 10 minutes.
Yeah, so I can start talking about this. So Senate resolution amending the chief personnel bylaw and standardizing term length among all chief appointed officers. So I'm the primary sponsor of this and co-wrote this with Daniel. Before I begin, I would like you guys to point to, it says on the second page, whereas the provision of this act will take place in the next application cycle so as to not unfairly advantage or extend the term of any current office holder. I just want to make that clear. This has no effect on my term whatsoever. This will come into effect if it does pass for the academic 2026-27 year. I will be graduated. I will be gone. Just so you guys, that's very clear to all of you, this is not benefiting or harming myself in any way. To kind of give like the opinion of like why the bill is like this. So all of the chief appointments in every single position in the ASUC, your guys's, the executives are all in the academic year. Chief personnel is on the calendar year. And so the original, to my understanding, the original purpose of that, which I do think in theory makes sense, is that there would at least be one official who like transfers over the class, like at least one person stays consistent. However, given that students operate on an academic year and it's a student filling that, if you've seen the past couple of CPOs, there's been this cycle of almost them force making their own academic term. They're taking over interim terms and then resigning when they get the full term. And so what I mean by that is, for example, like my predecessor, she took on the full term in January, which was supposed to go to December, but she graduated in May. And so she resigned over the summer and I took over her interim. And so because of that, even though that in theory, I do agree with the thought process behind there being at least one person to help with turnover, that just in reality has not happened. And so there has not been a full-term chief personnel officer since like 2023, like Michael Moy. And there's a couple other reasons I'll get into for why, you know, I think there are some other reasons, just like everything we do in the ASUC is on this academic year. And so it leads to a lot of issues with the CPL. Number one, namely being that nobody ever completes their final term. And also I believe that this is the best possible solution because is making it just an academic term, because the only other way to stop that would you have to start restricting resignations, restricting applicants. And I think that just gets into a lot messier process than this. ABSA is also on a academic year, meaning, so right now because I started my term over the summer, right now I have my my full budget. Theoretically, if when my term ends and somebody else gets the role in January, I could blow all of the money and that person, like they would be using the remnants of my budget. Whereas the rest of you, your budgets are for the calendar year, you have authority. So it puts also the CPOs into this weird cycle where they're subject to how much their predecessor spends. And then they also have the authority to essentially spend whatever they want and leave the next person in the position with however much they have left. It also disadvantages non-traditional transfer and seniors from applying, because if you, let's say you are a transfer and you come to campus, so you would need to be applying your first semester on campus. You would be on campus for 2 months and then applications would open in November for that term of January to December. So that is the only time you would have access to that. Also seniors, you wouldn't be able to apply because the term would extend past when you graduate. And yeah, so just like transfers are very disadvantaged by the current processes. I also think, again, like I said, in theory, obviously having somebody in turnover is good, but it also leaves senators and executives in an odd position, because that means in January, they're going to have a new CPO who may have a different interpretation of bylaws, may have a different way of doing things. Because although our bylaws are set, you can have different interpretations, you can have different processes, you still have some authority in that. And that would leave, you know, senators midway through the year having to switch up how they turn things in potentially and things like that. I'm just going to skim through to make sure I'm kind of not leaving anything. Like, this will affect me. So right now, I'm an interim, so I'm taking over. My term ends in December. So ideally, if this passes, we would open up applications for the next term, which would be the 2026. And then in this bill, there is a provision, if it's not, then I will amend it, that that term would terminate in June 2026. And then the in the spring, when we do all the other chief appointed interviews, we would do for the CPO, and then the CPO would be on academic starting the 2026-27 school year. So I think that is the majority of it. Yeah, there is also something in here because, like I said, how it kind of, I think this is the best possible solution, because otherwise you would have to get into like restricting people from resigning, which I don't really think you can do, and I would not advise anybody to do. It also in the past has led CPO applicants to mislead committees about when they're graduating, saying like, oh, I'm going to stay an extra semester, I can do the whole position the whole year, and then they resign when they actually graduate at a different time. And so I just think, you know, if you're this, in the past, the precedent has shown that it does not work. We have not had a consistent CPO in a very long time, relatively. And so I just think at the conclusion of my term and then at, you know, the end of the school year, I think it's just best if we proceed with all of the officers of the AFCC on the same page. And I'm definitely open to any like discussion, amendments on this. I also am open if any of you guys would like to co-sponsor. I think this is something that is really beneficial, not only to you guys, but to everybody, maybe not just to CPO, but to all of you, because I think this would create a lot more like a smooth year versus having an abrupt change in the middle of the year for all the senators, execs, and the rest of the appointeds. But yeah, so just open to answering any questions or anything like that.
I had a few, but I can go like one at a time in case other people wanted to jump in. First is, I was a little bit concerned over, again, like, I'm still in support, but I'm a little bit concerned over, like, SLI and EOLI, because wouldn't this be, like, a new CPO in their term? That's, like, isn't that, like, a lot of bulk of the CPO?
Yeah, and that's exactly what I had to do this year. I was the new CPO. And so, in theory, I get what you're saying, because in theory, we would have somebody who has the full year, but that's what's happened regardless.
Yeah.
I was the new CPO. One of the first things I had to do was SLI and EAOI. And there's nothing technically stopping that from happening in the future. So I get that concern. But as somebody who did have to take on SLI and EAOI, I do think that is, like, I had a ton of support from admin.
Manageable.
I think it's 100% manageable because I did it myself. And also, like I said, like, there's nothing to stop that from occurring in the future.
I think to circumvent that problem a little bit, maybe what we could do is add language that says something like, because for other positions that are appointed, I don't know about, like, the chief appointments, but I definitely know for, like, elections, council chair, and stuff like that, there's, like, language saying, like, by this week of the spring semester, GovCom has to, like, appoint the person. So maybe what we could do is, like, stipulate it so it's, like, at least, like, a month before the end of the previous school year, GovCom has to submit a nomination for next year's CPO to ensure that there's more time for
overlap
transition as compared to other positions.
Yeah. And that also brings you to like another point. This also, when we have the like the transition, then theoretically like there wouldn't be as much of a transition with the CPO. Like this is kind of a separate thing, but I don't know how you guys like how much you guys are privy to this. But like I was not really transitioned at all, and it really would have benefited me to have a more formal transition at a mandated time, because my predecessor did not resign at the end of August. I did not get transitioned in June, July, what have you. So I think like this also helps with the transition, is that it gives a mandated transition and nobody can hold on to the role and hold on to stipends like beyond then. But yeah, I think that's a great idea to put that in there, because if that's not already in like the chief appointed bylaw, that should, like, something like that should be.
Yeah, and I was also gonna ask, like, I know you and Nina wrote this, is the language like similar to the way the other chief appointeds are?
of the bylaw itself.
Yeah, like,
yeah, the bylaw itself, we didn't really change anything except for what you can see is strike through.
Keep track of
the rest of it's all
it's
identical.
2 minutes,
like
but usually, yeah,
issues.
Chair tracks, yeah.
Yeah.
Who has edit access on it?
I can share edit
only
access.
Like Josh and Jocelyn.
I can text like somebody like language ideas for that, like the appointment thing I was talking
but
about.
That would be, I think that'd be great to include, because even if that's not, like, I think that'd be great to apply to all the chiefs.
Yeah.
I will say there was one thing that I recommend that we amend at the bottom where it says, therefore, it be it finally resolved that the association shall revisit this term length change in the term lengths of all chief appointed officers at the end of 26-27 term to see whether this change would be revisited for the good of the ACC. I don't think that needs to be included. I'm not sure about the execution, just when we in January writing this, I think we put that in there, but I don't really think that's necessary, and I would say to amend to remove that, because I don't think we need to revisit the term lengths of all chief appointed officers.
What number was that?
That it's not numbered,
therefore.
It's the last one on the second
the
page.
Last,
it's the very last
the
one.
Last therefore
I would move to remove that. I don't think that's necessary. I think that was just
that one.
Okay.
That's the only thing I have to say about that. All my other edits were in before it was finally.
So if were you the only position that was like a calendar year?
CPO is the only one that's calendar.
So
year.
Then, like, is it just like so the only like people that like aren't that are like year round or like Matt and Mikhail, right? Are like advisors. Like no like student role is now gonna be a calendar year.
Sorry, I'm
like the only like student like role, like CPO, chiefs, appointeds,
mm-hmm.
execs, senators, are all gonna be school year now. So like
yes.
Over the summer we'll just be like, I don't know, like in theory, like Matt and Mikhail that are like overseeing
no,
stuff.
No, so the
like,
so the chiefs, and this is also like yeah, this
can
maybe,
we extend time?
Is there a
motion? I move to extend time by 10 minutes.
Yeah. Second.
Yeah, that's sorry, I got like caught up.
No, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, so all of the chiefs, like appointeds and executives, mm-hmm. are technically sworn in June. So
got
we
it.
Work throughout the summer, and then the only senators that work throughout the summer are the ones that sit on the inter-semester or inter-summer committee, the ISC
yeah.
or whatever that is. And so over the summer they do work, and that is
gotcha.
Also another point is that I was sworn in June, but I technically couldn't do anything until August, and so this also just this. Puts that's just another thing that the chief personnel officer is kind of like left in weird, because you do need to be doing stuff over the summer. You do need to be prepping for SLI, EALI for the school year ahead. And so basically it's like all of the chiefs and execs are on that page and are getting ready throughout the summer, except for the CPO.
So then should we make it June to June instead of academic year, and then put in the language about making sure GovCom submits the nomination by like, I just texted you, Joshua, with the amendment
yeah,
I was thinking. And basically what I said is, Governance and Internal Affairs Committee shall be responsible for submitting a nomination for CPO by the 10th regular meeting of spring semester to ensure incoming CPO is prepared to plan EOLI and SLI at the end of the summer.
I think that's a good idea. I'm not sure. I think by academic year, because I think this is just trying to put it on the same as the chief, so I'm going to look at what it says
yeah.
for the chiefs right now, because maybe that is like a good catch that
yeah.
the chiefs technically say academic. But by but that in
should
a,
say June,
but in effect
June.
That
yeah.
means June, because like we were sworn in June, like technically started working
yeah.
in June, so that
yeah,
might be a good like
June to June technically
yeah.
yeah
that might be a good overarching
text.
Let me see.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
It's a smaller detail. I noticed in section 2.3 you added campaign liaison. Like, what do you see that role being?
Where is that?
It's highlighted.
Oh, I'm sure Daniel.
That I was gonna say. I was like, I don't know what.
Really
yeah, that's a Daniel edit.
I
yeah.
get context is just because I was on GovCon last year.
2.3.
Like it's like this position on Elections Council that's like supposed to be there that's never actually been there, and the purpose of the campaign liaison is to like ensure equity between like people running that might not have institutional experience and kind of just be like the public defender, but not defender, like public resource for like people running. So it's supposed to be a stipended position on Elections Council that helps. People with like who have an experience
advisor,
yeah, nonpartisan advisor that's on Elections Council to like help candidates basically.
Wait, so if he's is he designating the CPO as the campaign liaison?
I didn't read what the
wait,
was.
No, it's support to those people.
Oh, support, yeah, because we added campaign liaison, so he's like in addition to all the other EC positions, also CPO would support campaign liaison.
Okay.
It's gonna be interesting.
Wait, so there hasn't been a campaign liaison until like
It was, I think, added like a couple years ago. Didn't happen this past election cycle. Also, there's like a bunch of drama with the way that elections was appointed. And like who was supposed to be appointing people to elections council.
Yeah.
So it just like hasn't really been functional, but it's supposed to be.
It's like, supposed to be like a student?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a student
okay.
that's like delegated to be the nonpartisan elections.
Okay.
Wait, Shelby, just to clarify, you want the second to last to be removed, right?
Yes, where it says it's yeah the sec oh no no no
the last
the last
oh the
yes.
very last
the
elections,
yeah
or yeah
to answer oh and then Isha to like your good point I looked at the just like chief appointed bylaw
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't have anything about that I think just the interpretation of academic
mm-hmm.
year is just as soon as like when finals end that's the conclusion
yeah.
So that might be a good like future. I think that might be a good future bylaw, just like for technical purposes to update like what exactly like the first day after the last day of finals of that like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But in terms of that being in this bill, I think just might be best to leave it academic. And then I think that's a good like I'll talk to Daniel about that because I think that is an oversight that it's not laid out explicitly in 1401.
Yeah, I think we should pass a resolution that what's the word. Unifies all the
that determines
mm-hmm.
academic year.
Okay.
So
cool.
Sorry, just to clarify, will there be a new CPO January and then that'll be the last
yes.
time
so,
there is one mid school year?
Yeah, so
oh,
I guess that to clarify, so the way like it works right now for me, like the way like in my term and then with you guys having a CPO, this does not affect me at all, right? Like this starts 2026. So that means it's gonna like end the old way. My technically when the calendar year ends, my term ends. And then in actually GovCom within the next couple of weeks, we'll open up for the chief personnel officer, and that would be the 2026 term. The only difference is that that will terminate in June at the end of this academic year to accommodate if this for this bill passing.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not there will be a new CPO, that I'm not sure. That's just how, you know, I mean.
Okay. I don't know. If, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I am eligible to go for it again.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially we'd be doing it, you know, the old way until the 2026-27 term passes.
Yeah, I don't know if I like a swap in January.
the incumbent would still be eligible.
Okay.
I'm graduating in June 2026. So
you'd be eligible.
I would be eligible to complete that term.
Did you look at that?
But yeah, we still would go into formal. The application would open. We would have formal interviews. Incumbent would recuse themselves if there is a conflict of interest.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think my only other thing is I just want to make sure we put that terminology about
the
chief personnel if it would terminate.
I texted my language thing to Joshua as potentially.
Should I just put it in the GovCom chat?
Yeah,
you could put it directly on the document. We could all see it, and then if we don't like it, we can change it.
Okay.
Just refresh. I should have given you.
Yeah.
I was thinking you could go in section one.
Wait, and you guys would need us to write, or like someone, you need to write a bill saying that the academic year is from June to June?
Yeah, or just like it would basically be amending every single, like, executive-appointed bylaw to, like, say that it's, like, from the end of the previous school year to the...
Yeah, because right now it just says, like, academic year. It doesn't...
Can we not put it in this one and then, like, be like, oh, just, like...
Well, we can... I was going to say what we can probably do is just a definitional amendment on the, like, appointed
page. Like, on 1401.
Is, like, by academic year, what we mean by this
is
and then insert specific date.
Yeah.
Because so that way we don't have to, like, amend, like, 10 things. We
can
just
so
kinda,
I think it might be fine if this just says academic year, and then we just put in 1401, which is the appointed officers, and then whatever the equivalent for executives, I don't know the number off the top of my head. Like, academic year means... The first day of the day after the finals for the preceding academic end, kind of thing like that.
Minor note, also, the resolution needs page numbers.
Perfect. Then I'm going to put in the GovCom chat, but I'm going to put where it says.
I forgot about the GovCom chat.
Yeah, the where it says, therefore, be it further resolved that the association shall proceed with terminating the term of the chief personnel officer at the end of the calendar year, December 2025, as the bylaw currently stands in writing, to include saying that the 2026 chief personnel officer's term would terminate at the conclusion of the 2025-26 school year to accommodate the passing of this bill. And
I added the section 1.5. It's just the formatting is a bit wonky, and since I'm on my iPad, it's like, I can't really fix it.
Did you underline it?
Yeah, I underlined it. I just can't move it back to be aligned with like those ones, if that makes sense.
Also, Shelby, I'm being so anal, but the page numbers need to be centered and in the same font.
I don't know if
you want to
do that
a bit,
but I just... No, but that is good to know.
Do we want to do another... Do we need another
extension? We have 2 minutes left.
Yeah,
I motion to extend informal debate by 5 minutes.
Second.
Motion by Senator Breezley, second by Senator Scott. Are there any objections? Because seeing and hearing none, you extended for... I said 10, right?
Mm-hmm. I said 5.
5, okay.
I'm gonna send in the GovCom chat. If anybody is open to the, like the, I'm open to modifying the wording of this.
So we will have to do interviews and stuff again in January.
Yeah, and there's like because this doesn't affect anything like that.
Right,
there's no changing that. Yeah. Okay. So, and that will come very soon. We want to get Elections Council out first, but then yes, we technically will, in January or. Like in November, December, early December, we will go through the full process for a new CPO. And then again in the spring, if this passes, then you would begin processes for the new CPO.
Okay.
And then in the event, let's say this doesn't pass, then theoretically in the spring, you would not have to do interviews again because that term would be for a year unless the current CPO resigns, and then in that case you would have to for an interim, which is that has been the case for the past
Cool. Okay.
I have a question. I think you might have already explained about for the therefore clause that was struck through.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you not think it's a good idea?
Transparently, I did not write that.
Daniel wants to go through all the bylaws.
Yeah, and I did talk to him about that. It was just, I think that's putting a little too much in it. Like, this one bill is just, I have, like, a clear idea of what I would like this to execute, which is simply putting it on the academic year for multiple reasons. I don't agree with the thought that the term lengths of all chief appointed officers need to be revisited. I don't think there's anything wrong with the academic terms. And I think, like, obviously, like, let's say this passes and it, for whatever reason, it's not liked. I can't really think of a reason why, because I think this would just streamline. But let's say it was. You still have the right to pass a new bylaw. I don't think you need an official term to revisit. I think this is one of those things that's going to get lost and not executed anyways.
Yeah.
It's like you always have that right to come back, do a new bylaw, pass something else to change things. So I just don't think it's necessary, and I also don't think that all chief appointed officers' term lengths at the end of that term need to be revisited.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just send. And then I'll just send to. And what I just sent is on the second page. The fifth paragraph. And then
the only thing is that we do the other chief appointed officers like more towards the end of the year. And so if we want to make sure the CPO is like able to get training in order to plan ELI and SLI,
mm-hmm.
should we have them be earlier than the rest of the appointed officers to kind of account for that?
I don't think so, because the SLI and EAOLI, that stuff doesn't really even come till like July anyways,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think any more time is needed than that anyways, because honestly, Mikhail and Matt aren't really thinking about it in June anyways.
That's true. Okay, we can just then we can disregard my 1.5 because if it's not necessary, like we don't need to add it.
So you prefer to delete it?
Yeah, just because like
okay.
if we have this therefore saying it's at the same time, then I don't think we need to say like because
yeah.
My thing was like it would be earlier, but if like that's not a concern, then we don't have to change that.
Yeah, I mean, as somebody who had to do that for SLI, BLI, I do think, I think if you had a trend, if you had a proper transition, you know, at the end of the school year, you would theoretically then could be confirmed to have your role the entire summer. And then, like, you'd have, I think you would have ample time.
We have, like, 50 seconds left. Do we need an extension?
I think just if somebody who's edit access could do what Isha said and fix the page numbers.
Can we extend just for a couple more minutes?
Yeah, they're like an aerial.
We have to extend for 2 minutes.
I second.
Moved by Senator Goldstein, seconded by Senator Beardsley. Have any objections? Okay, we've extended for 2 minutes.
And then also, I think this is a good addition.
Okay.
In like 1.4.1, it does have, which I think is good, it does have a like guidelines if the current CPO is like applying and mandates like the recusal, which I think is good to have in there. Though I do anticipate in the future this will kind of eliminate some of the you know, like people going for the role again because their terms wouldn't be split. Yeah.
Speaking hypothetically, would this then apply to say you if you were to apply for another term, would this bylaw change then take effect immediately?
So theoretically, yeah, this would pass, and that provision would take effect immediately. Though I will say, without this is just like, I think Daniel wanted to be like cover his bases, but technically, I already do have to recuse myself if there's a conflict of interest.
Okay.
So even without this, I already would still have to recuse myself from the process. But this is just Daniel, you know, covering his extra bases, which I think is good.
Gotcha. Just confirming.
Okay. Any other thing? Any other questions? Yeah, like 40 seconds.
Yeah, I think just overall, I think like the current way it disadvantages transfers, it disadvantages non-traditional students and seniors. I think this will be, and I think this will benefit the body as a whole, just because this also like it creates less transition for you guys. Because even if it hasn't been executed in the way that it's intended, and even if it was with people fulfilling their full year, that means you guys would still have a transition every in January. And given that the CPO is the main person you guys are like actually like answering to and like delivering things to, I think that would just create like, because obviously like, you know, at the beginning of this year, I already had like a bit of a learning curve. You would have that, you'd be subject to another learning curve, which I don't.
We're at time. Yeah. Do we need an extension or no? No? Okay, cool. I'm moving back to the agenda.
Cool. Thank you guys.
I don't know if we wanted to go over, it's not on the agenda though, so we'd have to go back and amend the agenda, but, we wanted to go over elections council applications, but I don't think we need to. I think Daniel drafted it.
Yeah, I like should fill people in beforehand.
Okay.
I can fill you in.
Okay, sounds good. Because he shared the application with me, I just didn't know if we're going to discuss it. Okay, that's good.
Is there a motion on the table?
Well, I think since time has elapsed, we just move on to the next agenda.
Though that was the only agenda item. So we have to put a motion on the table for the agenda, for the item A.
We didn't forward it.
Isha, you were in GovCom last year.
I motion to move SR 2526-015, amending the chief personnel bylaw, to the Senate as amended.
Second.
Okay, moved by Senator Beardsley, seconded by Senator Scott. Are there any objections? Okay, cool. Item A has been moved to Senate. Cool. We'll move into final roll call. Senator Goswami.
Here.
Senator Beardsley.
Here.
Myself. Here. Senator Scott.
Here.
Senator Yang.
Here.
Senator Mnuchin.
Here.
President, not here. EVP.
Here.
CLO.
Senator McCarroll.
Oh, sorry. Senator McCarroll. CPO. Present.
Here.
Cool. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I motion to adjourn.
Okay, so that's moved by Senator Beardsley, seconded by Senator Yang. Any objections? Seeing you're not going to be adjourned.
First GovCon meeting in a month.
Oh, it's not officially on the agenda because it won't be until... post-Senate, but we have the application done, and ideally we'll announce it at Senate on Wednesday, and then the application would be open Wednesday to next Friday the 7th, and then we'd have the weekend to look over to look over applications, and then we'd interview at GovCom on Monday the 10th, forward to Senate, and then at Senate on the 12th, hopefully the nominee would then be confirmed.
Cool.
And once I confirm with Daniel that like we are moving forward with that, it's just because he's sick, so I don't know how fast we can get that done, but that's ideally. I'll send him like the chat.
Yeah, because somebody else is going to... Sorry.
No, I was just going to say,